We started our whole topic here on do Christians need deliverance from demons. Is anybody here not convinced of that yet? All right, everybody's convinced of that? Are we? I really hope you get that. Is that this is a theology that I think is very important. Jesus spent much of his ministry dealing with demonic forces. His first deliverance was in a synagogue with somebody who went to church every week. Okay, so we can say that's where it started. It went everywhere he went, and he told us that we would be, part of our mandate in Mark 16, is that we would be ones that cast demons out. Well, it's kind of hard when he's in you, right? And if we got battles in our own life, it's hard, so the enemy will do that. I'll tell you one story. I was doing deliverance on a girl, Satanist girl, and we were dealing with a spirit. I don't remember what spirit it was. I do. I better not say it for that reason. But we were dealing with it. In the middle of my deliverance, the girl we were dealing with cried out for help from one of my team members. And the demons did. And I thought, what the heck's going on? Why is that demon asking for help from one of my team members who'd be trained and equipped to do the work of deliverance? And my friend, my team member ran out the door and just bolted. And came back later after the deliverance was done. I said, "I need. What was that about? Why was that demon calling to you?" And she admitted to me that I had that same sin in my life, and I've never renounced it in my life. And I said, "Well, the demons knew it, and that was a born again, tongue talking. She'd been casting out demons with me. Okay, we just hit something in her soul that she had not dealt with." And so I want to say that to you. You can have stuff and freedom in an area of your life and have authority there, but there's other areas if you're not free, you shouldn't deal with. Okay, follow me there. I remember one time I were doing prayer at the altar and I had a young prophet with me, and we came up on a man to pray, and all of a sudden I noticed my young prophet started getting angry, started turning beet red, angry, and he just leaned over me and says, "You take care of this one." And I'm like, what was that about? You know, and I started dealing with this guy, had father issues, and we were praying healing for his father issues. And so after the meeting, I went to him and said, "What was that about?" He said, "Well, I got issues with my dad. And when I saw it on that guy, that stuff rose up inside of me. And I knew I didn't need to minister right then. I knew you needed to." And I said, "Well, let's deal with that now." You know what I'm saying? So instead of seeing it as a negative, let's look at it as a positive. That any manifestation just tells me it's something I need to deal with. Okay? Instead of, "Oh my God, I got the devil in me." You know, and then just like, "Oh, I need to shut down. I need to go in a cave somewhere and just disappear." No. You need to get to a place where you can be free. Amen. All right? You got to be at that place where you can be free. Remember that Jesus dealt with these demons everywhere. And there are people in the Bible that became famous who were once demon possessed. Okay? Yeah. Mary Magdalene. Yeah. We know about her, right? Had seven demons. And who's with Jesus? Who Jesus appeared to at the end? It's her. So we got to get past our reputation and recognize we got to get some freedom here. And I just really want y'all to grasp that, to understand that what this teaching is about. And I think we have tried to counsel away demons so many times. Let me go read the right book, go to the right course, go to the right conference. Somebody can teach me what's wrong with my life, when sometimes it's just get out. You know what I'm saying? Eviction notice, you got to go. And I'm not saying counseling that way is wrong. I'm just saying you cannot counsel out a demon. A demon will let you talk for hours and years and months. You know what I'm saying? Just let you sit at a table and with a counselor or with somebody or your friend or whatever and just tell your problems forever and never get free. And we've got to get to that place where we're not just talking about demons, we're expelling them. Amen. Amen. And my heart is that, you know, you do it for yourself, but ultimately that you'll do it for others. And when that opportunity comes, you know, a couple weeks ago when John was saying, you know, when do we do it with lost people? And I just personally believe when it manifests. You know, it's just one of those things. Jesus did it when they manifested. So if it manifests, then that means I got to deal with something there. We've got to go after that. And this week on my podcast, I've already recorded it. We'll go through some prayers for you and specific things you need to deal with that pray into. So each day I'll cover some different topics. So I encourage you to listen to podcasts this week. So when you feel like your deliverance is complete, I think you need to sit down and ask the Lord or thank the Lord for what you've been free of. I think it's one of the best things to do in deliverance is to always remember that Jesus is the one that sets you free. That he's the one that did it for you, and you give thanks for it and just move on. And remember this, whenever a demon comes out, an evil spirit, whatever you want to call it, we need to fill that house. And you being here today is saying, look, I want my house filled. And just getting constantly in the Word and spending time with him. So let me move on down. And we talked about, I don't believe in Christians being demon-possessed because I think possession's 100%. But I think you can have levels of it in your life. Let me move forward to where we're going to deal with today. Sorry about that. There we go. And Derek Prince in his book has prayers of deliverance. Now, Derek seems really basic and really foundational. When we get Natasha here, she's calculus. He's like addition and multiplication, you know. So she's going to take it to another level. But I think it's okay to start with addition and multiplication. It's a good place to start. I remember I asked Natasha one time, I said, please keep it basic. Man, you're way too high. Your calculus is killing us, you know. So she did like the first two sessions. She stayed addition and multiplication. It was like phenomenal. I said, thank you, Jesus. The third session, she went calculus on me. And I said, she goes, wasn't that incredible? I said, well, it was for you. I said, you know, but it wasn't for us. We're like, we got pieces of it. You ever go to college or school when they're teaching a subject you don't know and you just like catch a piece here and a piece there? And you're like, wow, what was that? I was always in geometry. I'm having to help Isaac with geometry, and I'm horrible at it. And I can remember, it was like when we went to the next lesson, I figured out the lesson before, you know. And we had just moved on. I'm like, no, don't leave now. I'm ready. But anyway, and so I think when you look at his stuff, it is very basic. I personally went and listened or watched his deliverance services on you can watch them on YouTube or whatever. And I watched it, and he's so, you know, he's British, and he's very stoic and everything. And he just, you know, demons, Jesus tells you to come. I mean, Lord says Jesus said to the demons, come out. And these people are screaming and vomiting. And I'm like, how'd you do that? You know, and literally in his deliverance service, there's wailing and people getting free. And he's just talking his monotone voice. So, you know, it taught me, because when I started deliverance, I was taught to, you know, the louder you are, the more the demons run. And, you know, if you can put a cross or your Bible on the person, that really helps, you know, things like that. You know, I think they watch too many movies. But and really, it's authority and relationship with the Lord is what deals with demonic forces. Because the enemy knows who you know and knows who you are. That's the ultimate. Acts chapter 19. Jesus we know, Paul we know, but you guys, we don't know who you are. And we're going to beat the snot out of you. And they did. And so when he goes through this in his book of the prayers of deliverance, they're very simple. You know, when we go through them. So when you go through these prayers and you start breaking this stuff, make sure that you then thank God. Thank you, Lord, that I'm getting free of this thing. And then fill your house. Man, just start worshiping the Lord. Get the word in you. Begin to do things like that. You cannot in your own strength deal with this. I want to promise you, you cannot do that. The moment you think you got the power to do this in yourself is the moment the demons rejoice. Because that's their cue. That's their cue. Hey, we got access right back in. It's called pride. And we can go right back in there. And so here you are thinking you're doing really well, only to find out that you're not doing well. You know, Derek says this. It's in his book, but he says, whenever the devil knocks at the door, just let Jesus answer it. I think that's a good way to deal with it. You cannot deal with demons by yourself. That doesn't mean you got to go get somebody, but know this, me and you, Jesus, are going to deal with these things. Don't try to muster it up, get emotional strength, and just like, I'm gonna bow up and I'm going to deal with this thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't have some fire in you. I it helps me to have fire. But I want to make sure that I know that it's Jesus dealing with this. Because if you trust this book, or if you trust me, or you trust somebody else to be free, you will not be free. You got to find it in him. So your deliverance, if it's not complete, if you're still dealing with stuff, which we all are, you know, and I tell you this, if you're in a place of weakness, it's not a good time to war. And John did a great sermon, I wish I could remember the date, on when to go to war and when not to go to war. It's in Deuteronomy 20, I think it is. It talks about when he would tell Israel, the Lord would tell Israel, who should go battle and who should not, who should stay home during a battle time. Because if you're weak and vulnerable, it's not a time to go to war. And so there's a time when you're weak, just wait on the Lord. Just wait till you feel some strength back in your life and then begin to work on it again. Look, don't be in a hurry. You know, just this thing came on you year after year, little by little, and it's going to go away little by little, year after year. That's how it's going to go out. But you can do it. Just be very patient with that. Sometimes, you know, at the end of deliverance, you know, people want to know, am I free? You know, I want to know if I'm free. And I can't tell you, there's no certificate you can put on the wall. Yeah, the day I got totally free, you know, and that was the year, and put it on my wall so everybody walks in my house, they know that was the day I got free. I don't know. It's like somebody said, we all get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but the problem is we all leak. You know, we have holes in us occasionally, and we got to get refilled with the Holy Spirit. So we're not here to tell you you're free, or anybody should not be able to tell you you're free. You know, it's not, that's not what it's about. We're just responsible to deal with whatever we encounter in our life. So, and I want to say this again, you're never to be ashamed of having demonic activity in your life. Never be ashamed. It's common unto man. I don't know anybody that hasn't had it. Think about the biggest preacher, you know, whatever, Billy Graham, you name him. I guarantee you he had demonic activity. I remember when Jim Baker was in prison, he was under such demonic oppression that he wanted to kill himself and die every day. And he said there was this guard, he didn't know him, he would slip to his door every day and look to the people and just say, Jim, don't give up. Keep fighting. Every single day he would do that. And he had in his room, he had a demoniac in his room, his roommate, and he would mumble all day long. Just that's all he would do, all day long. And there he was. He said he's ready to die, give up. The demonic forces had just so captivated him. And he said then this insane man in his room became sane and started ministering the Word of God and just ministered to him. The Lord just captivated that man, let him be a minister to him. He began to get free of his demonic activity, and the man went to be insane again right after Jim had gotten free. So I'm just saying that's what God can do for you, is he can put people and things in your way to speak his voice. But the thing is, you got to have that will to fight. And you can't give up. And you can't beat yourself up because, you know, you've got issues in your life. And you know, that thing, like I said, Mary Magdalene, you know, in Mark chapter 16, she, early in the morning, she rose on the first day of resurrection. And she was there and appeared to him. And he appeared to her. And she was the one that was had demons cast about. Think about that. That's just amazing. That she's recorded in history in the Bible, and we read about her all the time. So don't ever be at that place. We all need deliverance. But you know, and I one thing I'll say is, if you don't think you do, then you got a pride issue. So you're damned if you don't. All right, you must admit it if you want to say that. So let's talk about this. Here's some steps about staying free. And personally, we have to, you know, it says here, affirm your faith in Christ. Now, well, I do that. You know, I affirm my faith in Christ. But it says here, Lord Jesus, let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God, the only way to God, and that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again so that I might be forgiven and receive eternal life. Now, that sounds real simple, right? But think about the truths in that prayer. What's that? Amen, right? And I need to be assured of that he's dwelling in me. that he has absolute control of my life, and that my personality is a problem, and I can fall into problems because of my personality. You know, I don't know. Derek puts it this way. It's like a city and a demonic invasion of a community. And it comes into a community and it breaks down the walls that keep us. If we look at an old city with walls, the enemy comes in and begins to devour that city. So what do we have to do? We got to build those walls back up. And how do we do that? We have godly strongholds. And here's one of them, is that we affirm our faith in Jesus Christ. And these are the basic principles. Here's some of the principles we want to talk about. We need to humble ourselves, right? I think that's humbling ourselves in the fact that we did that in my prayer and fasting sermon I did whenever I did it. I can't remember what it was, last week maybe. And that's one of the key things. And hopefully the sugar fast is making y'all humble. And my brother said he's got stuff coming out of his body now. He's like cleaning it off. What is that? It's like sugar goes, he's looking for a mate somewhere outside of his body. You know, I'm telling you, and that can happen. The toxins are leaving our bodies, right? And that's a picture of deliverance. When you deprive the enemy of a source, it's got to go. And so what we do is we're letting it get out of our life. And some of y'all are, I can see y'all really struggling. But for me, I'm, how many of y'all doing well on it? Are you doing okay? All right? How many of y'all failed? Don't raise your hand. Okay, so let's do this. Let's humble ourselves today, what it says here. Let's agree, let's say this all together. I renounce all pride and religious self-righteousness and any dignity that does not come from you. I have no claim on your mercy except that you died in my place. Wow. And that's a good truth, isn't it? That we understand that I can't do this without him. I have no claim on his mercy. I have no right to his mercy except for what he did for me. That's where I find it. And he died in my place. The curse that I have in my life, he died for, so that I can remove it from my life. Okay, so we want to do that. We need to confess any known sin. Now, we don't have time today to do this, all right? I confess all my sins before you and hold nothing back, especially I confess. Now, in Cleansing Stream, we used to do this. It's another deliverance ministry we used to be a part of. We would write things down. Is what we would do. Confession of sin. That's kind of scary. You're like, oh my God, somebody will read this paper. You know, so I got to do that. So what we would do is we'd write it down, and then we'd pray our prayer of deliverance, and then we would tear it up. Some people, if you're real nervous, you'll burn it. You know, because they're like, that could put me in jail if anybody reads that. So I want to destroy that. And so it's scary because in one session in Cleansing Stream, you do soul ties, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And you write down everybody you'd had a physical, emotional, sexual relationship, and you write their name down, and you walk up front, and somebody prays for you. And, you know, when people bring pages up there, it makes you really nervous because they have a lot of names, you know, that they were connected to. But I saw some people get amazingly set free from that, because there's something about saying, look, I realize I did this wrong. And that denial that you have tied to somebody will allow that person to stay tied to you. You know, that's that little slip of an email you're sending somebody from a past relationship. That little text. Little things like that. Those are soul ties. They're starting to connect you again. Trying to pull you back into a relationship that you shouldn't be in. Amen? So we want to do that. So, now, obviously, you can't remember every sin you've done. But I want you to, and I don't think God expects you to do that. I do expect the ones that are really your strongholds. The very things that are just eating your lunch right now. The anger, the bitterness, the lust, whatever it is that's really binding you. Those are the ones you need to especially confess. The question is, do you want to confess them? Because you have to want to. Because you can just confess it and not want to, and then you're a hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody who says they're going to do something but has no intention of doing it. Not just somebody who says one thing and does another. Because sometimes somebody do another don't mean to. They're trying not to. But somebody who has no intention of changing is a hypocrite.
That's right.
Okay, are we there? All right. repent of all sins, of all sin. All right, let's pray this together. I repent of all my sins. I turn away from them, and I turn to you, Lord, for mercy and forgiveness. Okay? So this is the key. We just do that. There is a time that when David said, Lord, forgive me of my unknown sins as well as my willful ones. So David's like, he's covering his bases, right? You know, it's like, I know I've probably done something wrong. Let me cover it. You know, let me do that. A lot of times when Natasha, we've done it with their teams where they do bloodline repentance, they make you repent of things that they're seeing in the spirit from your family and stuff. And, you know, I'm repenting, but I have no clue if that's true or not. I'm just, you know, I mean, I told her that before. I was like, I'm repenting from my family, from the Druids, you know. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know that my family were in the Druids, but, you know, I'm just trusting you, your seers here. And her point was to me, what's it going to hurt you to repent? You know, and I think that's something that is not going to hurt you to repent, you know, of that. Well, what if I repent? Then don't go there. Just get to a place where you're willing to repent of all your sins, turn away from them, and turn to the Lord. That's the main thing is that we want to do, is we want to turn to the Lord that way. And I think that's what repentance is. It's a complete turning and going to the Father's embrace. That's what repentance is, okay? We need to forgive all other people. This is huge. This is huge. Let me read this and we'll do it together. By a decision of my will, I freely forgive all who have, space there, ever harmed or wronged me. I lay down all bitterness, all resentment, and all hatred, and specifically I forgive, and you fill in the blank. In my experiences in deliverance, every battle we've had is in this area. Almost the worst battles, I should say, we've had are in this area. Because almost every stronghold you have is some trauma or an effect of somebody has done something to you. And because of that, you have unforgiveness in your heart, and that is a huge open door. And you need to find out who that is and forgive them. Now, I always say this, you do not have the capacity to forgive in yourself. You have to ask Jesus, who is the author of forgiveness. He taught us forgiveness, and he taught us what forgiveness is about. And because of that, I say, Lord, I don't have the ability to forgive this person. I do not. Matter of fact, I don't really want to because of what they've done to me. But, Lord, I know this is the right thing to do, and I want your strength to help me to forgive them. I think I've told it before. We do a deliverance on a girl. And before every session, whatever stronghold we're dealing with, we dealt with this. We asked her, made her forgive somebody. And I, 100% of the time, demons manifested during the prayer. 100%. And I say, let's forgive, and then, oh, next thing you know, I'm like, and it took me like 15 minutes to get her to pray the prayer of forgiveness because the demons did everything they could to stop it. Because they knew if she forgave, she was going to be free.
That's right.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And Carolyn Leaf's teaching on the brain, y'all know who she is? It's all over the internet. She talks about memory cells that have unforgiveness in them. They have toxins in them. And so toxins are released when you trigger the memory. And that's when you have this flushing feeling go through your body. You know, you feel like that dread, you know, it just comes all over your body. It's because a memory got touched and the toxins within it got released in you. And I remember James Robinson told the story. You know, his mom tried to board him. She tried to kill him while he was in her womb by herself. She took a clothes hanger and tried to kill him. And because she was raped, and he was a product of rape. And anyway, she was a horrible mom, and the Child Protection Agency had come to take him away from her. And so he remembered that when they came, he didn't want them to take him, so he ran into this field of pecan orchard, and he hid from the Child Protection Agency. Anyway, they recovered him, and they got him and took him to a foster home and did the whole thing. Well, all his life, he was allergic to pecans. And it was because of that memory that was tied to where he was taken. And when he forgave his mom and he forgave his father, he got delivered of an allergy to pecans.
Wow.
And
And it was all tied to a memory, right? It's tied to a memory that he had, and forgive it, and Carolyn's studies, and secular studies, not Christian studies. Secular studies, the only thing they know to heal memories, memory cells, is forgiveness. That's a secular study. That's not even a Christian study. So I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, that is a whole thing. So you have to forgive those people. Now look, if you don't think justice is going to be done unless you're not going to forgive them until justice is done, you're going to wait till you die. Because that's not going to happen that way. You need to forgive and let justice be done by God after you forgive. Just, Lord, that's up to you. You know, whatever you want to do in that situation. So let's pray this prayer together. By decision of my will, I freely forgive all who have ever harmed or wronged me. I lay down all bitterness, all resentment, and all hatred. Stop. Then you go home and you start laying this out, who you should forgive. And begin to lay them down. You know, it's an amazing gift when God gives it to you, okay? A break with all occult, and I know all their false religions. We touched a little bit on this last week. I sever all contact I ever had with an occult or with all false religion, particularly, and you name it. And I commit myself to get rid of all objects associated with the occult or false religion. Boom. Let's deal with a couple of these here real quickly. Occult. Hey, was anybody here ever in the New Age or in Wicca or any type of occult like that? Koresh, Waco, Texas. Anybody like that? Anybody in here? I know you did New Age. Anybody else? Okay, New Age. Okay, so we got some of that. That's less common for us in America. You know, we tend not to go to those routes. But we have Freemasonry. You know, I had a dream about my middle son once. In the dream, he was in Washington, D.C. under this canopy of Freemasonry. And he got sucked into this vortex thing in there. And in the dream, I had to go find him. I'm like, how did he get in there? You know, and I had to go in and I tried to rescue him out of this tent or covering of the Freemasonry. And so I remember after the dream, I go, but Lord, you know, I'm not in Freemasonry. My parents weren't in Freemasonry. I said, I don't know anybody in my family in Freemasonry. What is that about? So anyway, a few months later, my grandmother, who was like 96 years old, 7 years old, she died. So I go to her funeral in Indiana. And so we're at her funeral, and there's a casket. And right before the minister ministers, these ladies come in, and they start singing over a casket, and they're from the Eastern Star, which I didn't know was part of the Freemasonry. It's the female aspect of Freemasonry, which I didn't know. And I said, there, you dog, you devil. I said, I know where you are. I know where you're hiding. It's very important that I went to that funeral. Otherwise, I would have not known the root of where this thing was coming from. So I severed it. I broke it. I had authority over my son. And I broke that thing that would not come on and it wouldn't suck him in, you know, into that vortex of that thing. You know, the first vow a Freemason makes is, I leave the light of this world, I enter into the light of Freemasonry. That's the first vow you make. And then you go into, there's 27 levels basically for most of them, and each level you keep devoting yourself to Freemasonry and away from the Lord. When you start going to 32nd degree and beyond, I had read some of the manuals for 33rd degree and above, every other word almost is Lucifer. Exactly. And these are the people that nobody knows about. Because most go to 32nd degree, and that's all you hear about. You never hear about the next Illuminati group, whatever you want to call them. You know, they're into high-level witchcraft. I mean, they wear the warlock robes. They do everything and incantations and all sorts of stuff. And they're the ones that are telling everybody else what to do. We had a guy in our Bible study. He is a Baptist guy, and he just came on Tuesdays. He didn't go to a church here. And I just made an offhand comment about Freemasonry. And about getting free of Freemasonry. And I didn't realize he was a 27th degree. And he was fuming. I mean, he went and told his friend. He was mad at me. How dare he talk about that? Da da da. We're a good group. We're a bunch of Christians. We're all da 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 da. And so we challenged his friend to tell him. I said, just tell him to go study. And we gave him some materials to study. And next thing you know, he called back. He said, I'm in trouble. He goes, I didn't realize. I just thought it was a fraternity of buddies, you know. He said, I did it like on a weekend, you know. And he didn't even realize the vows he was doing. Because, you know, in evangelical circles, we don't talk about stuff like this. Almost every Baptist church, Black Baptist church, especially in America, in this city, you go on their church, you'll find a cornerstone that has a Freemasonry mark on it. Almost every single one. And there's many other churches too. You know where they like to hide the most is in deaconship. They love to hide in there. I had a 33rd degree guy I knew who took his daughter into Satanism. He was 33rd degree. He was the head deacon of a local Baptist church. Because that's the best place to hide. You know, because if you're in there, then nobody's going to seem to notice you're there. And it's just kind of a recruiting center. Let's recruit these guys. Let's let them be imps. They're little demons for them, in a sense. Okay, I didn't mean to go off on Freemasonry. You going to say something? Yeah. Yeah, all fraternities, groups like that. Sororities, fraternities. Sorry. They're the same models. You vow yourself and you covenant yourself to a group or an entity other than the Lord. And so it sounds like it's okay to do that, just my buddies. But I guarantee if you go back and look at the vows you make, it'll scare the wee out of you. I promise you. And then here, I must commit myself to get rid of objects associated with the occult or false religion. I'll give you an example. I was in India. We were at a Hindu temple. And at this Hindu temple, they were making these little idols, and not idols, but like tourist things, like, you know, you buy whatever, elephants and all sorts of different things, and it was there. And so I'm sitting there, I'm watching this guy, and he's carving out a wooden elephant, you know, I notice his lips are just moving all the time, just moving his lips. And so I walked up to him and said, hey, man. I said, what you got there? And he said, oh, I'm making this. He goes, this is, we're selling my store here. And I said, I noticed you're praying there. What are you praying? He said, oh. He said, I want my God to be in this elephant so that when tourists take it home, they get to take my God with them. Thank you, Lord. You know, I was like, that's what I needed to hear. So these guys are imparting that spirit into that object so that when you take it home, it's in your house. And you just think it's just a piece of art or it's nothing. I can walk into most houses and go, When we brought this girl out of Satan, one girl out of Satanism, we found so much of this stuff in her house. We burned outside here, I think for an entire day almost, all the stuff in her house. And I remember when we threw it in the barrel, we had this big old barrel, and we were burning it. She would shake. And I said, what's wrong? She said, Satan told me that would never burn. And I said, watch it burn, baby. You know, that's going to burn right now. And that's what the enemy would say. You can't get rid of me. You know, this is who you are. And I've had my own encounters where we have found objects in our house that people have given us that we didn't know. Now, don't be paranoid and realize that it can be redeemed. It's not that it can't be kept. It's just that you need to ask the Lord about it. To me, it's sometimes just better just to get rid of it. And what, I don't want to offend somebody. Okay, so you're not going to offend somebody and have a demon. I'd rather risk the offense and get rid of the demon. How about you? And get that out of my house, all right? Y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right. Now, and some of you may have Freemasonry in your bloodline, don't even know it.
What about
Fleur de
Lis?
Fleur de Lis? Yeah, that's been a controversy. We've gone back and forth on that. I've heard some people say it's not good, and I've heard some people say it is good. So I just have to pray about that yourself. You know, yeah, it's a big thing in Louisiana. It does have some bad connotations from some groups, but some it doesn't. And that's where you just have to trust the Holy Spirit to tell you. I remember we had one on our front porch, and we had a guy coming to do a deliverance ministry. And he has a whole teach on the Fleur de Lis, and he walks in my house, and that's the first thing he sees. I'm sure that guy cleaned my house and my pastor first before I can get the church free. Anyway. So we want to commit to what this prayer here says, okay? Also, prepare to be released from from any curse over your life, okay? Now, we know this. The Lord has died. He became a curse so that you don't have to have any curse on your life. So we did the whole spirit of poverty. Remember our series on that? Jesus was Naked, he was poor and in need of all things. That describes poverty. And he died with that on the cross, so he removed poverty off of us. Right? So there it is. Whatever curse it is, if you're seeing cyclical things in your family, generation after generation after generation, you need to prepare your heart that I want to be released of that. That I don't have to have the same problem. I have diabetes. My children do not have to have diabetes. You know, whatever. I have to be at a place where I can't accept that. And that's one of the things we do as families. Well, this has been in my family forever. You know, that's just the way it is. No, it doesn't have to be that way. Yeah. And whether, oh, my dad was angry, I'm angry. Whatever. Alcoholism, whatever. We can't go there. We got to say, no, I want to be released from every curse over my life. Y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
Let's read this together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that on the cross you were made a curse, that I might be redeemed from every curse and inherit God's blessing. On that basis, I ask you to release me and set me free to receive the deliverance I need. Amen. I just want to agree with that because I know that he wants us to be free of every curse that has ever come in the earth. All right? And then the last thing we do is we expel. I like expel. You know, when I was in school, that's what they used to do to students. We expel you. Y'all remember that? Do they even use that term anymore? I think it's such a kinder, gentler. Do y'all ever expel anybody anymore, for kids from school? Sometimes? Is it because of demons? What's the reason? No. But when I grew up, you know, that was your greatest fear, to be expelled from school. But it meant, what we knew that meant is we went home. And we had no longer access back to that school. We couldn't get back in. The worst part about being expelled then, though, is you couldn't, all the classes you took during those days you were expelled, you couldn't make up. So if they had a test, you made a zero. Zero hurts your scores, I promise you. I promise you. I'm one of those. This is where we get rid of them. And think about that. If you get expelled from school, you can't go back in. When we expel the enemy, he can't come back in. He now knows he doesn't have access back in there unless you let him back in. And the same thing with student. He can't get back in the school unless the principal says you can come back. And the principal is Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know, he's the only one. And you'd have to have a cause for that to happen. And so we want to make sure that we expel them and speak directly to them. You know, if you know them, name them. You know, I know Jenny said last week, about how in the 80s and 90s it was big to find out what the demon was. We used to interview demons. Like, what's your name? Like they're going to tell us the truth, you know. I'm kindness. No. You just got to understand they're not going to tell you the truth. What Jesus experienced was they told him. And my experience with demons is that when we actually had a name, I never asked for it. They just told me who they were. And what they were trying to do was intimidate me by their name. Abaddon, you heard that term? It's in the book of Revelation. I had one tell me that. I am Abaddon. You know, and it was like, I'm supposed to be scared of that because I know that's in the Bible. And so sometimes they'll do that. But if you know, look, if you know the demon of anger is in you, name it. Don't be so general. Oh, Lord, I ask you to remove all demons when you know you got an anger problem. I'm sorry, my ear was itching. So make sure I'm talking to the right crowd. And whatever you know it is, go ahead and name it. And then if you can't name it, ask yourself, why can't I? Why can't I name this demon? I think I talked about my podcast this week, but we were doing a street deliverance. And one time, and a guy, he wanted money for food. And so, but anyway, we started witnessing to him and my buddy that was sharing the gospel with him. And all of a sudden, he wants to receive Jesus, you know. And so we started, he said, well, can I pray with you? And he said, yeah. And so he started praying, you know, and he would start praying. He said, now, Lord Jesus, I ask, and he just told him to repeat after him, Lord Jesus, I ask you to remove the enemy from my soul. And the guy said, And God asked you to remove the enemy from my soul. And I said, no. He said, say Jesus. And he said, oh, Lord, ask you to remove this demon from my soul. He could not say Jesus. Mm-hmm. He would not say Jesus. Because he knew then it was a commitment. And he wasn't going to go there. What he wanted was money for food. That's what he wanted. And look, I'll pray this little prayer with you.
You just give me some money for some food.
Not like he was skinny or anything. He had a little drug problem. But it was the whole thing of that. And I want to say that if you can't speak to it directly, there's something in your heart. There's something in your heart that doesn't want to get rid of it either. Okay? So, we can pick whatever one you want to pick. If that's some little pet thing inside of you. And I'll talk about it all week in my podcast about how sometimes people don't want to be free of it because they like parts of it. They just don't like the consequences of it. Okay. Somebody who has a major anger problem can control people. They don't like that nobody likes them, but they like the control of the anger. Because I can get people to do what I want them to do through my anger. Did that hit home with anybody? All right. So you can find out whatever it is. Whatever this thing is, that I think Derek said it once in his book, that the guy said, look, I quite enjoy lust, but can you pray for me to be free of it? And what did he say? He says, no, I cast out your enemies, not your friends. And you can't, that's your friend. You can't ask me to cast out something that's your friend. All right? So that was a really good one. All right. So let's pray this prayer. We'll close. Everybody, let's stand up. Because we're going to speak some things right here. And Lord, I pray protection over everybody as we pray this. And we won't say directly names here this morning. You do that on your own. But this is going to do a little expel. I didn't bring any buckets, so hopefully y'all keep it inside of you right now. But I just really want to believe that God can set you free of every demonic force. And this is just like a layer. We're trying to kind of taking the top layer off this morning. We'll build on it next week and dealing with some more stuff. Let's pray this prayer right here. Now I speak to any demons that have control over me. I command you to go from me now. In the name of Jesus, I expel you. Now, Lord, we take this prayer today. And we thank you for the goodness of your love, that you died for us, that we don't have to be bound by these demonic forces. Lord, we are not evil when we have you. And I break every lie that says I'm an evil, bad person because I have problems in my soul. And Lord, we are not good. You're the one that's good. But we are made good by your righteousness. And Lord, we make that declaration here this morning in this place that we are going to be free of every demonic force. In Jesus' name, I declare that. Father, and over everybody that's in this course, and for the days ahead and for the weeks ahead, may they take these principles and walk in these principles according to your word. Now, I want you to say this to you as we leave. You know, it has to have an exit point. And that sometimes is just your words. And you know, as you know how you breathe out your words, you must go. Put your hand in front of your mouth and just say, you must go. You must go. Did you feel your breath?
Yes.
That thing was leaving. It's coming out, in a sense, that way. Sometimes you'll burp. Sometimes you'll do what John said he did last Sunday. Whatever. You'll do things like that. You'll have some type of exit in some level. All right? You know what I'm saying? So he was being delivered a prize that day. That's what he was being delivered of that very day. And so God will do that for you. And you got to understand, it's got to come out some way. I remember one time we were doing deliverance and we had people outside the prayer room praying for us while we were doing the deliverance. And they were out there and we were casting demons out. And they said this cloud of sulfur came from underneath the door and just filled the entire hall. And all they could smell was sulfur in the room. And they looked in there. What are y'all doing in there? They thought we were fumigating something or spraying something in there. And it wasn't. And we didn't smell it in the room.
Yeah.
It came under the door and went out. And so they said, what do we do? I said, open the door. Let that thing out. I don't want to stand in the building. Get it out of here. And sometimes do that. Open your door and say, you got to go. I expel you. You don't have a place in my house anymore. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We'll see y'all next week. God bless you. Listen to podcasts this week for sure. You'll get some more prayers this week as I go through each day. Okay.